It was a wonderful time at Vacation Bible School this week. It was so heartening to see all the children and the grown-ups learning some Bible lessons and some valuable life lessons, and knowing that we need to do our best not only for our own Christian life, but for others all around the world. Amen? Amen. Our scripture today is John 13:35 and Matthew 28:19-20. First, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Have you ever wished that you lived at the time when Jesus was on earth? That would have been so awesome, just to have the opportunity to meet him, to listen to him teach, perhaps even witness some of the healings and the miracles that he performed. Maybe be his follower then, and even one of his disciples. If you engaged with the drama series The Chosen, that was a wonderful opportunity to feel like you were right there, that you were present for many of Jesus' amazing deeds, as the disciples were, up close and personal, when Jesus spoke with authority and yet led by example, privy to his teachings of the masses, of his witnessing to small groups and instructing them, and his individual interaction with each of the 12. We think about how fortunate the disciples were to have had that intimate relationship with the Lord. Scripture states of them, almost in awe, they have been with the Lord. Yet we know that they faced hardships, hard choices, and hard lessons. In Jesus' time, a disciple was one who followed and learned from a teacher, a mentor. They call that teacher a rabbi, or with respect and affection, rabboni. In modern language, a disciple describes one who believes firmly in the teacher's principles and assists in spreading the doctrine. And that, too, is why the disciples dedicated themselves to Jesus, because they fully believed his doctrines and disciplines. So they followed Jesus, not only in the places that he traveled and taught, but in moral behavior and godly actions. They were ordinary men whom God used in an extraordinary way. They were simple fishermen, lowly farmers who worked the land, a tax collector, and a revolutionary. And each one of them was expressly chosen to live a life of faith and spiritual growth. John 15, verse 16 spells it out. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The disciples were chosen, and they were brought along from their starting point of faith, wherever that was, until they became devout believers and staunch supporters of Jesus as the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. The Gospels record the constant failings and struggles and doubts of these 12 men, but the record goes on to show their complete immersion in the mission that Jesus gave them, even to die and be a martyr for their faith. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, when he was preparing them to go out into the fields for the harvest, he He didn't pull any punches. He didn't throw any curveballs. He told them straight out, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And that's from John 15, verses 18 and 19, the words of our Lord. So, to bolster their courage and more deeply prepare them, Jesus continued to instruct them and encourage them. He set about calming their concerns for what seemed a monumental task, promising that they soon would be empowered by the coming of a comforter and helper, telling them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So he instructed them to await the promised arrival of the Holy Spirit, who would shepherd them and continue to direct them in their ministry. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus said, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit transformed those ordinary disciples into extraordinary apostles, into powerful men of God who turned the world upside down. They were on fire, burning with the desire to share the gospel good news. And people noticed. The word tells us in Acts 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Such power to be with Jesus. The apostles then, they received their discipleship training firsthand, directly from the Son of God. They heard his words. They witnessed his emotions. They pondered the hidden meaning of his parables. They struggled to align their Jewish upbringing to the gospel message. Yet they received answers to their questions and validation of their doubts. And through it all, they eventually internalized their teacher's deep commitment to the truth and his conflict with falsity. They became as close as brothers to each other and to the Lord. Remember his command that you love one another. But then it was time for the disciples to move from learning to teaching, from following to leading. And the Lord sent them out this way. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. We call this the Great Commission. It is the sending of the disciples, and it is the premise upon which the Global Methodist Church models its call to discipleship. Our doctrine reads this way. The disciple is called to continue the mission and ministry of Jesus through works of teaching, service, multiplication, mercy, and justice, making more obedient disciples who will reflect the character and mission of Christ and expanding the boundaries of Christ's kingdom further out into the world. Did we know we signed up for that? Beginning with our confession and conversion at the cross, we came to Christian faith. As we've matured in our faith, become more Christ-like, it's brought us to a place where we, like the disciples, move from follower to leader because we have been with Jesus. Now, the process of discipleship can mean many things to many people, but basically it's this. We show our faith, we grow our faith, we share our faith. And we are charged then to make disciples who, in turn, make disciples. And the cycle continues. The mission and ministry continues. And that's when discipleship becomes evangelism, and that's when evangelism becomes revival. So, like Jesus' apostles, we've been called, we've been commissioned, we have work to do as we await his return. Like his apostles, we have been equipped. We've been equipped for service through the truth of his word, through role models and teachers, through the encouragement of other believers, building us up in love, and through the indwelling Holy Spirit, who still guides and directs and quickens us with the truth. We have been given authority to pray and to do spiritual warfare in Jesus' name. Think about that. We've all been called to be healers, to pray for one another, and to love one another. We are to exemplify the values of his kingdom in our relationships and actions, faithfully giving ourselves over to discipleship as we read Jesus' words in each of the four Gospels. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Discipleship is a lifelong journey. It is an ongoing process of continuing growth that involves teaching and correcting, obedience and accountability, self-denial and self-motivation. Pastor Matt Rowe defines discipleship this way. It is a deep participation in an ongoing, life-transforming apprenticeship to Jesus. Do you see how it is our goal that people will consider about us, as was said of the disciples, they have been with Jesus? That means becoming more Christ-like through study, sanctification, and spiritual development. Actively pursuing a closer relationship with God, learning from his teachings and applying them in our daily life as we stay continually in the truth of the word. Jesus tells us in John 8, verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Do you think about that when you read your Bible? You are his disciples. So this abiding involves ongoing engagement with Scripture so that it becomes the premise for our very ethics and for our every action. Now, what that means to me is never miss an opportunity for Bible study, devotion, prayer, and worship. Get involved with discipleship training, small groups, band meetings. Because it's only logical that in order to be progressing, to be growing into discipleship, we must be working our way towards something. And that something is to be alive in Christ, to be able to model Christ as the apostles did, growing deeper and bolder and stronger, more committed to the very commission that God gave us to continue our work for the kingdom. Our character, our conduct, every conversation should be reflections of Jesus, because the ultimate goal of discipleship is transformation into the likeness of Christ, as 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." While the path of discipleship holds incredible blessings and rewards, it's not without its challenges. Jesus warned that it will require carrying our cross every day. Stepping out in faith, he warned that the world will hate his followers. He warned that we will encounter obstacles that test our faith, doubts that will assail our beliefs, and temptations that entice us, and spiritual warfare that seeks to hinder our progress. Yet, in the face of these challenges, we're not left defenseless. Recognizing the reality of spiritual warfare, we put on the armor of God, and then we stand firm in our identity as disciples of Christ. When doubts arise, we pray to God for assurance. When questions confront us, we turn to His Word for guidance. In moments of temptation, we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And when faith falters or we question our Christian leadership capability, we're able to find encouragement and accountability in our community of believers. In the world today, as in the time of Christ, and as always, there's a great need for the Great Commission. There is a critical shortage of disciples to help others grow in faith and fruitfulness. Now, as then, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9, verses 37-38. As Christ's representatives, we become living testimonies of his transformative power, and that will draw others closer to him. Going beyond ourselves and engaging in acts of service, our hearts are stirred to love and care for others, meeting their needs and extending a helping hand. We embrace the call not just to grow as disciples, but to make disciples, to share our faith, to give our testimony, and guide others into a life-changing personal journey of following Christ. I like what Chuck Swindoll has to say about making disciples. God made all varieties of people with a wide variety of interests and abilities. He has called people of every race and color who have been hurt by life in every manner imaginable. Even the scars of past abuse and injury can be the means of bringing healing to another. What wonderful opportunities to make disciples. Amen. So, discipleship is meant to ignite a fire within us, to reach the lost, to invest in the lives of others. We grow into discipleship when we allow the truth in our hearts to guide us to greater holiness, love, humility, and grace. That means we allow God to draw us closer to Him through sanctification, spiritual transformation, and our vocation for the kingdom. In the Old Testament, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Today, let's be inspired to show our faith, grow our faith, and share our faith. And in this way, we seek to be disciples who are spiritually transformed and emboldened to fulfill the Great Commission and our God-given purpose. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have chosen us, and you continue to work in us, first calling us to believe and then commissioning us to discipleship. May we become the examples of which you can say, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And may they say of us, "They have been with Jesus." This we ask in the name of your precious Holy Son. Amen.